Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is Guilty Movie Pleasures. In-depth discussion on movies, no matter how guilty they make you feel.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God! Zach!
Holy crap!
You keep scaring us with the explosions! I am so sorry, ladies and gentlemen, for screaming in your ear right off the top. I was not expecting a full-on attack. Popcorn Network has fallen. Popcorn Talk has fallen. Popcorn Talk has fallen. There we go. I love it. Hey! Welcome, Guilty Movie Pleasure fans. This week, in case you didn't know, we're talking Olympus Has Fallen.
Yeah.
In honor of London Has Fallen, coming out in theaters this past weekend, which both Cameron and myself saw separately and then text each other how we geeked out over it. It's so good.
It was so good.
I'm your host, Ben Begley, and with me as always...
Hey, I'm Cameron Lewis. You can find me at the only camshaft on Twitter and Instagram. We actually have... a Guilty Movie Twitter account now.
We started one this week, so we can start tweeting. Because the goal with that is to really start conversations about Guilty Movie Pleasures, and so you can tweet at us. You can still tweet at us. I'm at the Ben Begley, but also at Guilty Movie Guys.
Oh, yeah.
Is the official Guilty Movie Pleasures Twitter now. So throw some tweets at us. We'll be having a conversation with you. We want to open up the conversation to our fans. And Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters will happen in the next few weeks. Who knows?
Yes.
We may even decide to do it next week.
Maybe.
I don't want to say anything, but I love that movie, and we are going to do it in the next few weeks.
You're a commitment phobe, and so
I just want to see, you know, I went full Bernie Sanders from that sketch where Larry David played him.
Yes.
I don't want to shake anybody's hands. He's got you coughed on your hand. Anyways, we're talking Olympus Has Fallen. Now, before we do that, though, I want to talk about London Has Fallen just for a couple minutes. I don't want to give away any spoilers, but for people out there who are fans of Olympus Has Fallen, I wanted to do like 2 minutes on our thoughts on London Has Fallen without giving away any spoilers. But what can they expect? What do you think?
A nonstop thrill with a lot of stabbing.
It's an hour and 40 minutes.
So much
stabbing. It's 20 minutes shorter than this movie.
It is.
And it has no downtime. It's a 20. I clocked it. It's a 22-minute setup, and then crazy terrorist attacks happen, and then it's just nonstop stab, stab, shoot, stab, stab, shoot,
shoot, stab, stab,
shoot, shoot, stab, stab, yeah, explode, stab, shoot, explode.
Yeah,
it's pretty great.
Oh man, it's so skit scat. And there's so many
song of explosions and gun, you know, skibbity bap bap.
There's so many good. Oh my god, look what's happening! Reactions in it. I love it. I eat those all day.
Both of these movies. The reason why I love them so much is because they feel like a relic from the 80s, like late 80s, early 90s, or like, at least, maybe not a relic, that makes it seem bad. They feel like an homage to those movies, and they have to know they're doing that.
Yeah.
That's why I don't get the bad reviews on these, because they're clearly a throwback to 80s and 90s action films. This is literally almost completely follows the plot of Die Hard, just in the White House.
Yeah.
Like, there's the whole military, where basically in Die Hard, where the tank comes in and gets shot by the bazooka. Very similar thing when the special forces come in a helicopter and get shot down. It's like they follow almost the same beats as Die Hard, but I don't care because it's so much fun.
Doesn't that piss you off sometimes? It really pisses me off when somebody watches a movie like this and they're expecting it to be like The Revenant or something.
Yeah, when
it's
they're
not
like,
what they're going
the
for.
Characters were two dimensional. It's a fucking action movie. It's supposed to
hold that.
The new one, when they're like, oh, it has outdated worldviews and stuff. It's like that. This is an American fantasy. It's a patriotic fantasy where it's like, we can take on terrorism but with one guy. It's just like Rocky IV, where we can solve communism by one boxing match. That's what this is. One guy can stop North Korea. One guy can stop. Well, he calls it, in London Has Fallen, my favorite line, and this isn't a spoiler, but he tells somebody to go back to Fuckistan.
Yes.
Or wherever you're from.
God. It was so tasty.
It was a packed theater at 11 a.m. on a Saturday, and everybody cracked up at that line.
That's how early you saw it?
Yeah, I saw it.
I saw it at night showing, and I thought, okay, this is pretty surprising for this movie at night.
Yeah. It was at the Fallbrook Theater, and it was, like, packed. You looked in the audience, and it was all people, like, over 50 that were just, like, loving it.
Did you notice how different the two movies looked, though?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Well, it's because Antoine Fuqua directed the first one, and the first one he's a little bit more skilled as a director.
Yeah.
The new one has some great takes in the end where it seems like all one shot in a couple of actions.
Which I love.
I love that movies are starting to do that so you don't have that Michael Bay, Paul Greengrass, just shaky cut, and you can't see what the hell is going on.
Who he stabbed or how he did it.
Yeah. Bourne Supremacy, I still don't know what happens in the car in the end when he does the seatbelt thing. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't fucking know. The guy died somehow. I have no idea. But London Has Fallen, I'd say Olympus Has Fallen is still a better movie, but London Has Fallen is a really fun follow-up.
Absolutely.
And I think that Aaron Eckhart and Gerard Butler specifically are even more, they have a lot more fun with their roles. It's more like a buddy action movie because they're together for most of the film.
Yeah, especially so Aaron Eckhart.
Aaron Eckhart in this is a little overwrought and a little kind of like gloom and doom. He gets to have more fun in the sequel, which I like. Instead of just sitting, this whole movie, he's like, don't kill her. They'll never get the Cerebus code from me. And that's like all he gets to do.
Don't worry, they'll never get it from me.
Yeah.
You're not that tough. Yeah, Aaron Eckhart. No, like, I'm sorry, but.
You got beat up in the boxing match in the beginning.
Yeah.
So London Has Fallen. We want to know if anybody out there has seen London Has Fallen, what you thought. Tweet at us about it or in the comment section. A little later, we're going to do some Q&A. If there's anybody watching live who wants to talk about their favorite patriotic action film, that's a genre in and of itself. I'd say Independence Day is one. White House Down is another one. Ooh, if anybody liked White House Down better than this, then let us know.
Yeah.
But let's get into this movie.
What?
Oh, sorry. I got super excited. You will fight somebody?
I will fight somebody if they say White House Down is better. I'm sorry.
I would say White House Down is more intentionally funnier, if that makes sense. It's intentionally funnier, but this is a way more badass movie.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Way more badass. So when was the first time you saw this?
When it came out. I saw it in theaters. I saw
Same here.
I think I may have seen this and White House Down within a couple weeks of
each
other.
Yeah, I did too. I remember. They came out within like 3 weeks of each other. It was crazy.
And I loved it then. What was it? 2013,
Yeah, right? 2013. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it then. It was, I don't know. I love when shit happens in the White House.
It's just...
Like you said Independence Day. There's something about it where you're like... It's this holy castle, this holy palace. You never think anybody can touch it.
They say it's the most secure building in the world.
Yeah. And so when something like that happens, it's like, I don't know. There's a weird bit of fantasy about it, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't want this to happen.
You never want it to happen. But there's this kind of like, this like, it just, there's just something cool about one guy against the odds and against, and like one guy's determined badassness that just can take over anything. And and it's just, I remember in theater sitting there and having that whole, when they do the siege of the White House, it's fucking intense. It's like 13 minutes of just.
I love it.
It's so crazy.
It is brutal.
We'll get into that because it's one of the craziest scenes in the entire movie. But that's one of my favorite scenes. I saw it in theaters too and I loved it. Yeah. I thought it was a blast. And that's why we're doing it today. So let's do the plot in 3 minutes.
Oh, Lordy.
We're going to do this right now, under 3 minutes. It's going to be really hard for me to remember.
We talked about this with Twister last week.
It's just like, because this is like,
it's going to be a quickie.
Then he kills those guys in the hallway. Yeah. Then he kills those guys in the Oval Office. Then he kills those guys in the Lincoln bedroom. Oh, then he has a, okay, let's try and figure it out. All right.
Yeah.
So here we go. In 5, 4, you're going first, Cam.
Okay.
3, 2, 1. Take it away.
All right. So Mike, played by Gerard Butler, Secret Service, he is protecting the president. They're over at the president of Camp David. President, wife, son, they're all going
super
to an
snowy.
Event. Super snowy.
Patriotic Christmas
over the
music.
Place. So they decide to get in the limo, the barricade. What is that called? Motorcade.
Motorcade.
Barricade. And go to the dinner. They're all in separate cars. The president and his wife is in the limousine. The son goes with Gerard Butler. Mm-hmm. What happens, Ben? A tree falls
and crashes on the front vehicle.
They
then the limo spins out of control, and it's hanging off, and two of the guys are trying to hold it down. Well, they can't. Of course, they can't get the door open to the wife, but they get the door open to the president, and then Gerard Butler cuts him loose and goes, "I'm sorry, sir." Pulls him out. Man, it does, the limo doesn't even sink into the lake.
And it doesn't
just
fall
slams
that far.
On the on the ice and dead, just dead. It's actually kind of a brutal, tragic opening where the president's wife gets killed. Then we cut to 18 months later. Now Mike is like a security guard
somewhere.
He's
working a desk job
for a private sector.
He's still part of some kind of security.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's still part of Secret Service.
He's Secret Service. I think he's like a private sector is what they say or something.
Private sector.
So then we find out that it's the July 5th, and of course, you know, the government doesn't take a five-day weekend or anything, or a three-day weekend. No. Yeah. They have the South Korean Prime Minister coming to do negotiations at the White House on July 5th, of course, because the North Korea and tension and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Then what we find out is that the North Koreans are somehow have snuck into his security detail, which is absurd to
me. That's right. There is about 700 people that sneak into the security detail.
700 people. So the North Koreans take over. They start shooting the place. This gunship comes flying into D.C., just mows down innocent people left and right. Gerard Butler's running through, getting people out of the way.
Gerard Butler sees it out his window.
Yes.
And then he starts
running. And then he's running. And then anyways, everybody basically gets killed except Gerard Butler. He's the only one that gets into the White House. The president's down there in the bunker. You think he's safe, but then Dylan McDermott shoots everybody and is like, ha-ha, I have this really nefarious speech about why I'm a traitor.
That's
You're
right.
a traitor, President. And then
they hold everybody hostage. They continue to hold everybody hostage. Mike goes up to the Oval Office. He finally finds a phone. He calls the, the Situation Room back in the Pentagon. Tells everybody, hey, I'm in here.
Morgan
I can
Freeman's
help him
there.
Out.
Angela
Morgan Freeman's going,
there.
Who is this? Angela Bassett's going, we can trust him.
We can trust him. He's Special Forces. We know everything about him.
So long story short, he starts shooting a lot of people. We find out the guy holding the president, his name is Yang.
And he wants a Cerberus code, which is basically going to destroy all of our nukes, and he wants to destroy in our silos on our soil, so it destroys our country. Oh, God, 30 seconds.
Okay,
and then the other thing that he wants is he wants a helicopter, and he wants the troops and the battleships to withdraw from Korea so they can basically just go to war and fuck up South Korea.
That's right.
Finally. And then basically Mike Banning is fighting his way. He finds the president's son, saves him, gets him up this ventilation shaft, cracks him next, stabs him, dude, cracks him next, shoots some guys.
Shoot, bang.
And then you think everything's fine. They have the hostages go out. Boom, they blow up the helicopter. Holy shit, what's happening? Melissa Leo has a really overdramatic scene. And then Mike Banning finds him in the bunker.
Stabs
a dude in the brain, saves the president. They walk out and say a little funny one-liner. Boom,
everybody's
done.
Fine. America saved.
Oh, man, that was actually pretty thorough at the end there.
Yeah.
Stab, stab, shoot guy in the head, stab.
Stab, stab, shoot, shoot. By the way, speaking of stab, stab, shoot, shoot, I'll just say this up front right now.
Yeah?
The body count in this movie, a staggering 168.
Is it really?
168. Now, by comparison, we did Shoot 'Em Up. Mm-hmm. Shoot 'Em Up with Clive Owen was somewhere in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, but I wonder how much of that is included in the opening sequence. Is it like 120?
Probably most.
148 of them are in that opening where the gunship just mows people down. And whose job was that to
Can
sit there and go?
Can we talk about the gunship
one,
for a
two,
second?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Well, that's not a mortal wound, so he's fine.
I think it was a PA.
Yeah.
I think a PA had to do that.
Okay, let's get that out of the way in the beginning because it's so crazy. Because you're just like, it has that 90s feel where they build up every character, and they do this really great in the second one, too, where they introduce every character that you're going to meet, and you're like, oh, okay, and they give you a little lower third that says, like...
I like the lower thirds.
I do, too, because then it's like Secretary of State. You're very clear on who it is. It's easy. No exposition needed. You just move on. And then it's ratcheting up the tension. You're like, oh, shit, what's going to happen? And like 23 minutes into this movie, they've already established the tragic opening. You have Gerard Butler's fall from grace because President Asher, Ben Asher is his name. He doesn't want to, he just can't see him every day. It's a reminder of his wife. So you have this kind of like angsty opening. And then the fucking gunship comes in. And the first thing, when the F-15s or F-18s, whatever they are scrambled to fly next to them, they're like, turn around. And then they just open up and just...
They just open up these doors. And it reminded me of a pirate ship they open the cannon, the side of the cannon.
It's incredible.
The F-18s let this thing get way too close.
Yeah, they should have shot it down way
should have shot it down in, like, Texas or something, wherever it started.
Why weren't they like, hey, we're going to shoot you down. Okay, we're going to shoot you down. Instead of like, no, seriously.
They're going, hello, please.
Please, we're really going to shoot you down, I promise we're going to shoot you down. Just please. And then, so they blow up these F-18s, and then they just start mowing down people in the streets of Washington.
Just in the streets. They haven't even gotten to the White House yet.
No, they're just like, fuck it.
There's a guy getting out of his car at once.
Yeah, it's so
shitty.
He's
like, caw-caw!
He's just like, I just got a new job. My life is it's
And
awful.
By the way, Mike Banning, Gerard Butler, he sees this thing. He's in his little private little desk job. He's looking out the window. He sees the plane fly by, which this thing is massive, right? And it's weaving in between buildings and shit. So when he's running outside, this plane is mowing down the people. He's yelling. Did you notice this? He's yelling, get down.
Yeah, that wouldn't help.
That's not going to do anything.
No, get inside. Get out of the fucking
Keep
way.
Keep running. I don't
Keep
know.
Run in a zigzag pattern. Something, that's what they right? tell you to do, right?
Throw a tree at it. I don't know.
And then they shoot down the top of the Washington Monument because it gets clipped. Basically,
yeah.
They finally shoot down the plane, and it clips the Washington Monument and then blows up. And you're like, oh, whew, I guess that's it. Nope.
My favorite, yeah.
Nope.
No.
Because then we find out that the North Koreans are in the security team, and they start blasting and shooting everybody. Then these dudes just show up out of nowhere from on the front. Suddenly there's like 40 dudes in the front of the gates.
I think they all posed as like hot dog stand operators or something.
There's a suicide bomber, and Gerard Butler was like, hey! Hey, fuck you! Hey! Get the fuck!
Boom,
shoots at one guy, boom, the other guy blows up. All these guys start just crossing the lawn, just mowing people down left and right.
And then we have the garbage trucks pull up.
Which at first you're like, oh, the garbage trucks are just gonna like block it, right? And then what happens?
Then the freaking side of them open. First of all, they're
like a
my
Mr. Potato
question,
Head with machine guns. They just hide them everywhere.
They are. They pull up the garbage trucks. They fire a thing that makes the tires blow, so they go down and be more stable, I guess. So that because if they were still on tires, it would probably blow back and roll over, scientifically speaking.
I don't know why.
I have experience
with this.
I think they do
that because
so
it looks
please
cool.
Trust me.
I know a lot about hydraulics.
But when that happened, wouldn't the cops or somebody just go and blow those things up, assuming that something bad is going to happen?
I think they were just so unaware of what to do at that point.
Yeah. So a big-ass trap door opens, and they just mow everybody
else down.
And by the
down.
Way, I just remembered this. My favorite shot in the whole movie is the shot from the plane when it's circling the White House, just firing that Gatling gun at it.
It's crazy.
It's like, I don't want that to happen, but that's a pretty cool shot.
It's an awesome shot. Yeah, I never want this to ever happen in real life, but
Jesus.
It's awesome in a movie.
But man, there's just waves and waves of people. So there's like three or four different rounds of people that are coming out of that White House.
They just give us a limitless amount of people for Gerard Butler to dispatch.
Oh, yeah.
And they're all nameless, faceless, who knows, North Korean bad guys.
All just mowed down.
It's so when he's just, and I love in these kind of movies where the good guy always has just one like 9mm. He just has one Beretta
with infinite clips.
Just like
in his pocket.
Yeah, I got like good thing I brought like 75 clips for today. Yeah. Where do they find all these clips from? It's amazing. Because he's just wearing like a regular belt and a shirt. He's not, and he gets very tactical later on. Oh, because he steals all the tactical stuff from the first guy he kills. I think.
Yeah.
But man, he just mows people down. And then Cole Hauser is in the movie, and he's a decently known actor. He has like 5 lines, and then he has the greatest line ever where he goes, Olympus has fallen 3 times and then gets blasted. And I think we have that clip. Olympus has fallen? Perhaps, maybe. I surprised Zach in there.
Olympus has fallen. Olympus has fallen. Olympus has fallen.
Bah, 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 bah. And then, no, I'm sorry. First
he turns
around and goes, fuck you. And then gets just wasted.
I just like the dichotomy there between like super formal, like Olympus has fallen, Olympus has fallen. Fuck you.
Fuck you.
Dead.
God, this brutal. The other thing that's so great about this movie is it has like 100 one-liners that I love.
There's so many.
First off, my favorite is the Mustang to Big Top when this is in the beginning when he's saying, okay, the president is going to leave. You know how they always have this weird code for the president. I hope this is really what they say because it's so awesome. Can we play that, Zach? Mustang, Big Top or whatever?
Big Top.
Mustang, this is Big Top, bringing out the full package.
Mustang, this is Big Top, bringing out the full package. Look at that.
That's what I said when I lost my virginity.
Yeah.
I was sitting there and I was like, this is going to happen. This is going down. And she looked at me and I looked at her and I said,
bringing out the full package.
You know, it's weird. When I went in for a physical a couple months ago, I just thought it was going to be like, you know, lymph nodes, whatever, cough. And then they're like, take your pants off. And I was like, wait, what are you? Why? What do you? Because I hadn't had a physical in a while, so I forgot what they have to do.
Yeah.
And they're like, take your pants off. And I'm like, okay. So I take my pants off to my boxers. And they're like, no. You got to
bring it out the full package.
And I was like, oh, okay. All right, that's how this is going
to
go.
When I worked for UPS, mm-hmm. I always used to play a little bit of a game. I would knock on people's doors because they were expecting these big packages.
Yeah.
And I'd pull up and I'd have a little package. Just like a little ring box type of thing. And I'd say, hey, could you sign for this? And they go, wait a second, what happened? What's going on? To get their signature, I'd put that in my pocket and I'd say,
bring it out the full
package. Look at that.
And then pull it out and surprise them.
That's so nice.
Made their day.
You know, that just made people smile.
Made them smile.
That just made people smile.
And then, you know, if they're smiling a lot, then
bring it out the full package.
That was a stretch. I liked it, though. I liked it.
Oh, man. I'm going to move on from that because I loved it too much. Too much. there's so much awesomeness in this.
Whenever Mike Banning is entering the White House,
yeah,
just that moment alone.
Oh my God!
Right there by the front door, he's hiding behind some kind of little wall
that's bulletproof,
which is impenetrable.
Bulletproof. Everybody else should have got behind that pillar.
Screaming RPG. People are just walking into the opening like, I'm gonna get you.
Like old, like colonial, like Civil yes. War style when they just walk out like, this is how we fight.
Yes.
Oh shit.
Instantly mowed down.
I never understood that in Civil War. I know that, you know, muskets and stuff were a different kind of way to fight, but I never understood that just march blindly, like literally the way people used to fight was like lemmings. It was just like,
yes.
Fight, 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 die, shoot, shoot, shoot. Like, I'm amazed anyone survived that kind of battle.
I know.
It's
but
crazy.
It used to be that there was like a formality to war.
Where people actually like, yeah, where you don't shoot the band, you don't shoot the medics.
Yes.
Like there was rules.
You all go 3, 2, 1, 5.
It was like a gentleman's sport, the wars back in the day. You know, minus all the other terrible stuff involved in the Civil War. But yeah, everything else is gentlemanly. Oh, Jesus.
Why don't they still have bayonets on their guns, though? That's right.
Why? I feel like it just would be cool.
It's
like you might
you're
as well.
Always, you're close
you
to people.
You can always use a bayonet.
A bayonet on the end of your handgun? A miniature.
That'd be awesome.
One.
Just bayonets on your
one
sleeves.
One in your shoe?
Like a Wolverine character or like Vega from Street Fighter. Oh, that'd be amazing. Oh, that would be amazing. So there's, I mean, I feel like I wrote 12 notes just on the opening, which we've covered in exhausting detail.
I wrote down so many fucking people are dead for real.
But then I just was sitting there like, holy fuck, this is so many people being just brutally murdered. Like, they make you hate the bad guys. In
yeah.
both of these movies, they make you just go, fuck those guys.
Yeah.
And there's no gray area. They're just super bad. And then Dylan, I always want to say Dermot Mulroney, but it's Dylan McDermott's
yeah,
character.
Dylan.
When he goes on this rant about why he's a traitor, it's so forced. And, like, they never really explain why he's a... Let's just play that.
This
the
is
traitor
in the bunker,
speech.
Right?
It's in the bunker
yeah.
where Dylan McDermott, the character who used to be in the Secret Service, but now he's in the private sector, he just starts shooting people in the bunker and then reveals he's a traitor with the North Koreans. And this is what he says to the president.
I never would have taken you for a traitor.
Me? What about you? You sold this country out long before I ever did. Globalization and fucking Wall Street.
Yeah, fucking Wall
What's
Street.
What's it cost
right?
to buy a presidency nowadays, anyway? Huh? $500 million?
What are you pissed about?
Fucking rookie compared to you.
What does that mean? What is that?
This is
okay.
so angry about.
Those, I love that, like, they list globalization, fucking Wall Street. What does that. I get what that means in the political landscape, but what did President Asher do? Because. They set him up as a decent guy.
Yes.
And I don't think he got $500 million from anyone like his character is claiming.
No.
Maybe,
and also,
maybe like $100,000. Let's be honest. Most presidents don't get any money unless they're taking kickbacks. But this President Asher doesn't seem
guy.
Like a kickback guy.
No, he's a good guy.
It's just such a weird, forced, but also kind of awesome because it exists in this like 90s action movie where you don't really need a backstory, so I love it.
Yeah, it's like a vague reason for hatred.
And then later on when they even pull a Die Hard where like when Hans Gruber pretends to be the good guy when he sees Mike and he's like, oh shit, Mike, you're here.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad. And then he accidentally says, I can't believe it's fucking Kang. And then Mike looks at him and goes, how'd you know his name? Boom! Then they just start beating the shit out of each other. He stabs him in his lung, and the guy's bleeding out. And he goes, what happened to you? This is your time. You can make it right. And he goes, I just fucking lost my way. That's all he says!
That's it!
Just like,
there's no backstory about how he got involved with these people. What President Asher did to him specifically.
Nope.
Because that's the best part. It's like... you know, why are you doing this? He's like, well, are you kidding me? Wall Street!
Wall Street!
What are you talking about?
And then just said, like, crying and being like, I just lost my way. And then he redeems himself by saying, he's dead, I got him. And then then Mike Banning in this, and even more so in the sequel.
Oh, Jesus, with the stabbing?
He just stabs. He makes Jack Bauer look like he goes easy on terrorism.
Yes, he
Mike does. Banning goes, I don't know, Jack Bauer did some crazy shit. He did cut off a guy's head and put it in a bowling bag and then go. But then they were like, that guy was a pedophile, so it's okay. Season 2 of 24, if you haven't seen it, it's one of the greatest shows ever on television. Jack Bauer for president. All right, anyways. But that whole sequence is so funny to me. The whole, like, yeah, I just lost my way, and then no explanation.
I also thought that he was going to be able to keep it together way longer than he did. It was like, Mike, thank God. So, yeah. Yang, you're yeah. like, dude, you just fucking blew it so yeah. quick.
Anything that happens in this movie, they that's what I love about this is, and that also is why it makes it so guilty, is that they build up plot points, and then they get rid of them real fast. They're like, oh, shit, the son's in trouble. You're like, oh, man, this is the whole movie's going to be the son being in danger, which I didn't want it to be, and I'm yeah. so glad it's not. Because as soon as the son's in danger, 10 minutes later, he's out of there, and Gerard yeah. Butler's just stabbing more dudes.
Well, even to that same point, by the time they introduce the idea of Cerebrus,
yeah.
it's about 10, 15 minutes later, everything is fine.
Yeah.
It's just completely
well gone. Until the end when Cerebus starts up again. They pronounce it differently in this movie. Some they people do. Say Cerebrus and some people Cerebus. Say Cerebus. It's Cerebus. Very strange. Yeah. But when they say Cerebus, when they first bring it up, they say they give him the classified speech, and this is what Gerard mm-hmm. Butler says to it is the classified clip.
What's Cerebus?
That's classified.
Classified? Really?
Well, right now I think I have the proverbial need to fucking know.
You know, it's interesting that when I went to Taco Bell, they yeah. have the quesalupa.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like a quesadilla and chalupa.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey, what kind of cheese is in the middle here? And the employee there, who's only getting minimum wage and really doesn't have any stake in the company at all, got real pissy with me.
Yeah.
And just said, it's classified. And I looked at her and I was like, I'm about to eat this fucking thing, so.
Well, right now I think I have the proverbial need to fucking know.
And she was like, all right, it's cheddar. Cheddar
Jack okay,
cheese.
Sir. Jesus
Christ.
You're Taco Bell. You need to calm down.
That cost you $1.29.
Sir, why are you so angry?
I don't know.
Wall Street, the economy.
Fucking Wall Street. You know what Taco don't Bell did like... to me? Fucking Wall Street.
I'm a fucking rookie compared to you.
Oh, you know what? I was actually shit. At a... the rookie thing reminded me. I was at yeah. I was at a Menchie's.
The yogurt
and,
place.
Yeah, at a yogurt yeah. place. And I was trying different samples and stuff, and I was taking my time, and I was just mm-hmm. like, this guy next to me just kept looking at me like, what a fucking idiot. Why are you taking so long? And I was just like, I want to sample everything, you know? And he's like, he's already got the perfect combination of three different flavors that yeah. perfectly match in your
that
palate.
Swirl.
He gets the right amount of toppings, and he gets it all for under $3, which is fucking crazy. And then I just look at him, and I go...
Well, right now, I think no.
I
have
the verbal need to fucking... No, I'm sorry. I do the rookie one. I look at him after he has this giant perfect yogurt, and I say...
I'm a fucking rookie compared to you.
Yeah, see? Then pretend that worked. Pretend that worked. Because it was a long setup.
Oh. Oh. You guys are switching clips on me.
I said rookie right before. I was like, the rookie reminded me.
One time right. I went to In-N-Out, and... Say which something. One does he play?
Oh fuck, I don't know. Okay, now
there's
we'll go back.
There's no reason I never voted for you.
Now we'll there, go. Now we'll go for the proverbial fucking need to know again. Do you have anything you want to add to that? Now that I just threw you under this.
The proverbial need to fucking know.
Yeah. So I have something Ooh. Else. I have. Let's see. When I was. now I can't think of anything. When I was a kid.
One time I was yeah, sitting please, in the studio.
Please do it.
And Ben asked me, hey, do you have a improv for this sound clip we have? And mm-hmm. I said, listen.
Well, right now, I think I have the proverbial need to fucking know.
You know, they get really shitty with us about the Wi-Fi password here.
They really
don't,
do.
They don't want us to, you know, take up their bandwidth and yeah. all that bullshit. And I'm like, guys, I need to retweet about our fucking show. So I'm like, just give me the Wi-Fi. And they're like, well, the Wi-Fi is classified. And I looked at Zach when he was in the booth and I just said,
well, right now, I think I have the proverbial need to fucking know.
Yeah.
My mouth did not match that at all. I just kind of went all over the map. I was like,
I'm pretty sure there was somebody replacing the dialogue on your right there.
Yeah, it was fine.
It was
fine.
Dubbing. It was
I liked
dubbing.
It. I liked it so much. But they do this great setup, just like in the 90s, where they set up, and just like Jack Bauer on 24, one of my favorite shows, I'll keep mentioning it, because this character really reminds me of Jack Bauer in the White House.
Yeah.
And where they're always like, can we trust this guy? And then they go into this little mini speech that gives you all the exposition on him. And so I want to play the clip...
This
where
is,
Angela Bassett gives this speech about Banning's backstory. What do you have
the
that
guy
I think
we know we can trust this guy?
Banning is ex-Special Forces, Ranger Battalion. He will move mountains or die trying. I know him.
That's all you need
That's
to know.
It.
It was like my favorite thing on 24. Whenever Jack Bauer had to like talk to the president or anybody, and actually I did a spoof of 24, and one of the things we spoofed was that
what was
any
it called?
24 Minutes.
There we go.
If you check it out online, 24minutes.com, we have all 24 episodes up there. But it, one of my favorite things is that he would always be like, Madam President or Mr. President or whatever, I give you my word. And then they'd be like, all right, okay. Like Jack Bauer's
35
word.
35 million people may die.
Jack Bauer's word meant everything. And that's what this monologue is to me, where it's like, he was ex-Rangers. I know him. I trust him. And it's like, and then Morgan Freeman says something great afterwards where he's like, well, does anybody else have anything?
Yeah.
No?
Anybody else
want to
say anything? Also, who has my coffee?
That, I have that sound clip. Because Morgan Freeman even orders coffee. Cool. Listen to how cool. Wait, sorry. Start it over again because I was still talking.
Sweet and lows.
Because Morgan Freeman can do anything cool, even order coffee. Listen to this.
Mary, get me some coffee. Half and half, three sweet and lows. In a real cup, not one of those paper or styrofoam things.
This is
I just love everybody's face when he does this. They're like, listen, shit is about to go down. 174 people just died outside.
We could use
the
Mary
White House
for several other reasons than this.
Olympus has fallen. Mary is Secretary of Defense or something, and you're asking her to go get you fucking coffee.
I mean, man, we really could use Mary in this room right now in case like anything else goes wrong. So, and we're out of, we don't have Sweet and Lows here because it's just that high fructose corn syrup stuff. So just, we don't carry that. So she's going to have to go down to the local 7-Eleven to get it. And it's just going to take a, and there's
and
guns.
And we're out of
and
cups.
There's
You're
like
making her go get cups.
People on the street shooting things. So if Mary dies, that's kind of an HR nightmare. And that's just, but he doesn't care. He's,
I really
he wants his
it.
Fucking
I think
coffee.
That's a deleted scene. I'm pretty sure I saw that.
Just for,
on the Blu-ray.
A deleted scene where Mary goes and gets coffee and gets a hostage. There's a whole side story. And Morgan Freeman goes out and goes, Mary, and shoots. Oh, that
Mary
is so
just
good.
Walks outside and gets blown to pieces.
So good.
Oh, God.
We did the proverbial need to know. I just want to make sure we hit all these amazing sound clips because, oh, God, this is great. When he first rescues the kid, I think, what's his kid's name?
Connor.
Connor, that's right. When he first rescues Connor and they hide in the Lincoln bedroom's hidden chamber or whatever.
Yeah.
The greatest thing is that he's like, ready, we're going to go on three. One, two, and as soon as he says three, the North Koreans just start blasting with machine guns through the door, through the wall. And of course, in typical action movie fashion, none of their bullets hit, but Gerard Butler running, covering
backwards.
His eyes, and shooting both sideways and backwards hits one of them somehow.
Yes.
It's amazing to
also,
me.
Also, he can, he, super,
he's got bats. He's got
in
bat,
these movies,
bat
they
sonar.
Have bat sonar.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a half, a, like a half a second
mm-hmm.
where these guys go, here it comes.
It's like the movie
and
Wanted,
like,
where they can just curve the bullet to hit the bad guy.
You can't tell if there's 14 people on the other side of this wall with machine guns.
No.
But you know what? If you're Mike Banning.
You can.
You can.
And I think we have the, I asked him nicely. This is when the one-liners just it starts off kind of serious, and then once he starts killing people, it just becomes a one-line just jukebox of awesomeness.
All over the place.
And this one is after he's asked, he has these two guys tied up, and he goes, hey, we want the information. The guy's like, fuck, you were not telling you. So he stabs the one dude in the chin right in front of him.
Yeah.
Just stabs him.
He's
by the way.
The laughing right before that happened. So good.
Here's the thing. I don't know how strong you have to be to shove a knife through someone's skull, but I imagine fairly strong. Knife has to be very sharp.
I would argue to say very strong.
That's a skull. Yeah. It's thick, you know? And but I mean, this is here. He could, yeah, okay, maybe he didn't hit any skull. He just stabs the shit out of him, dies. Next guy, he's like, give me an answer. Stabs him in the leg. You're like, holy shit, you didn't even give him a chance to answer. He's killed both of them. He tells them the information, and this is what he says.
No surprises here. 40 commandos breached the gate. 28 are left.
How do we know we can trust the information?
I just asked them nicely.
Oh, fuck yeah. That's something in the theater where you're just like, yeah!
Yes.
Ask him nicely, yeah!
Ask him nicely a second time.
Because
do it more.
No matter how liberal anybody is in real life, when they go to movies and they see that, they're like, fuck yeah, terrorism!
Oh, yeah.
You know, because you, there's something really refreshing about just being like, this is us winning, you know, and not having the gray area where the one thing I will say about the
You're pissing on their boots.
The one thing I will say about the new movie, though, is that they set up in the beginning a pretty tragic thing that happens to the terrorist, and then the United States, everybody in the United States' response to that is like, fuck you, I don't care about your sorrows, even though we blew up your family. And that, to me, was like, okay.
It's a bit risky.
At least in this movie, the U.S. didn't do anything other than just occupy South Korea. Yeah. Like, that's what this terrorist was upset about.
Yeah.
And the United People's Front of Prosperous Whatever.
Yeah.
And then Gerard Butler's amazing one-liner to that, United People of Whatever. What, you have that clip, Zach?
I think we have that, yeah.
It's over. No more televised executions. No chopper. No more negotiating with you and the United People's Front of Who Gives a Fuck.
And the United People's Front of Who Gives a Fuck.
I do love... So when we have most dream. Of these movies...
Can I just say that's my dream to one day be able to say something like that in a movie?
You're going
to
have it.
Fuck.
But that's I love that both Olympus Has Fallen and London Has Fallen, they get a large part of the R rating. Because of the language.
Whoa.
And I'm kind of...
And the brutal violence.
But yeah, but I mean, there's actually a good number of these types of movies that have the R rating just for the violence, and there's not enough of these zingers.
Yeah,
with the cursing.
I agree.
United fucking whatever.
Or like Live Free or Die Hard when they say yippee-ki-yay, mother blam, 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 and blank out the F word.
Yes.
Like, fuck you. Don't do that.
Right.
Don't make a PG-13 like Die Hard movie. Don't make a PG-13 RoboCop movie. What's your problem? Yes,
right. And speaking back to the him stabbing those guys... freaking mouth and then in the leg. I just love that he's like, time is fucking ticking.
Yeah.
Like, we need to get this thing done. There's no time to talk.
And he knows these guys are bad guys. They're terrorists. Yeah. They've plus, we've already... I think that's also why, as an audience member, you can kind of cheer along with some of the insanely violent moments, is that you saw these guys commit horrible acts.
Heinous.
They just mowed down innocent civilians. So there's no gray area. There's no, like... It's not like Homeland where there's like a terrorist where you kind of sympathize with because he's like the younger brother that got dragged in and you're like, oh man, I hope this guy doesn't die because he's actually kind of nice and maybe they can just put him in like a, you know, a military prison or something. This one you're like, fucking kill all these guys. They're assholes.
Every single one of the first time we see them in that room when the TV comes on and that, what I call it, the crisis center, whatever they call it.
You mean in the bunker?
Where Morgan Freeman
is. Yeah, the crisis room. Something whatever, like
that. Because it's not at the White House.
It's
that's
not the situation
room
because that's Wolf Blitzer.
Yeah, that's Wolf Blitzer. When Wolf Blitzer appears in the movie.
It's so crazy. His cameo was great.
Oh, my God. Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my God.
But when the first time we see them on screen, they just shoot the South Korean prime minister.
Yeah.
Immediately, without saying anything, without making any sort of demand. Nope. So screw these guys.
Screw these guys. They deserve every shoot knife to the face they get. Now, another great one-liner, because we have about 5 minutes left, is the game of fuck off. This is another amazing, amazing one-liner from Mike Banning. Wait, oh, here. Oh, shit, fuck, I keep talking too much.
Damn it!
Here we go, let's play it again.
You know what? Why don't you and I play a game of fuck off? You go first.
You know, it's interesting. I got in trouble with this because I was babysitting my nephew, and he's 3 years old, and he loves playing hide-and-go-seek, and I played it for like 8 hours, and I was just fucking tired, and I just wanted to watch TV, and I was exhausted, and I didn't think he'd comprehend what I was saying, so he was like, hey, let's play hide-and-seek again, Uncle Ben, and I looked at him, and I was like,
why don't you and I play a game of fuck off? You go first.
And apparently he retained that and said to his mom...
Why don't you and I play a game of fuck off? You go first.
That's not going to go over well at preschool on Monday. You shouldn't tell your 3-year-old to go fuck off. That's really just mean.
Speaking of preschool, one time I was in, I think it was first or second grade, my first spelling test I got back.
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher, you know, she gave me an F. But I spelled most of it right.
Yeah.
And so we did a spelling bee.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where I was going with
this. I want to hear it. I want to see this. I want to watch this ship sink.
We did a spelling bee. I'm going to bring it back. I did really well, Ben. Uh-huh. I did really well. The kid who was up against me, though, who lost as a result, he was pissed.
Oh, yeah.
So we go out to the playground. He goes, you know what? I'm going to get it back. Why don't we play a game of dodgeball? And I said,
why don't you and I play a game of fuck off? You go first.
You know, I get really competitive when I play board games.
Yeah.
And I was playing the game of life with
life.
A couple friends. And first off, that game goes on for fucking ever.
It does.
But we're playing the game
of
life.
Life.
And I just basically, you know, I'm getting a real shit hand along the way. Everything that could go wrong is going wrong with my character. Finally, I just toss that game board, Dane Cook style, yeah. circa his 2000 album when he was still funny. Yes. I just flip that thing and I just look at all my guests at my house and I say,
"Why don't you and I play a game of fuck off? You go first."
Then I was like, "Hey, who wants mimosas?" And then it was fine. It was fine. They didn't care. Everybody was over it anyways.
I had a Valentine's Day gone bad.
Oh, yeah?
I just ended it with saying,
"Well, you and I
That's a great way to end Tinder dates.
There you go.
You go first.
So,
that's it.
Wait, can we talk about Melissa Leo in this? Because
oh, my God.
Because holy shit, she's acting.
This is the only. I will say this, and I will get flack for it on the interwebs. This is the only person I was okay with potentially dying.
Melissa Leo is a great actress. She's been in David O. Russell movies like The Fighter, and she's fantastic. In this movie, she's acting in a different world. She is so overdramatic, which would be fine, but she crosses a line where it's almost too real that it becomes fake. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Where, like, she's playing it too, like, at one point she has a conversation with the president while she's tied up, and she spends most of the time talking through her arm, like,
yeah.
"Mr. President, I would follow you." Here, I'll do
it. I think
she
might have been drunk,
"Mr. President, I will follow you till the end." And it's just really weird, and it's like, I get that maybe in a real situation that's what would happen, but in this kind of movie, it just looks fucking crazy town.
Yeah.
And the best
part... Well, because also, we need our people to be brave.
Yeah, and she... Oh, everything she's like, "Get off of me!"
She got so slobbery and spitty.
When she's being dragged out and you think she's going to get executed and then she doesn't, she starts yelling the Pledge of Allegiance, and holy shit, it is one of the funniest moments of the movie. Can we play the Pledge of Allegiance?
"I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America!"
Ironically enough, Roseanne Barr, my niece at her grade school, they were learning the Pledge of Allegiance, and I guess Roseanne has one of her kids there or something, or grandkids, I don't know. And she came in for Bring Your Grandma to Work Day, or to school day, and they were like, "Hey, Roseanne, would you like to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?" And she was kind of drunk, and, you know, like Roseanne. And Roseanne just starts yelling in front of the kid. She just goes like this.
"I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America!"
It's so... I'm sorry. I want that to be my ringtone.
Can
I want
tell
when
you,
people call me, I want that to happen.
I had the same one teed up, but I was going to say Fran Drescher.
Oh!
I had the exact same
it
narrative
It sounds
teed
like
up.
Fran Drescher or Roseanne Barr.
It does.
Damn it, I stole yours.
Can we hear it one more time?
Yeah, just one more time for the audience.
"I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America!"
The pause was my favorite. It sounds like your drunk, overly right-wing aunt who, like, gets drunk at your barbecue. This is, oh, I know what. It's like when I was hanging out in, you know, in the Midwest area for the 4th of July, and I was there with some people who have different political beliefs than me, and I happened to mention something about Obama, and they got really uppity, and they started all, like, a couple of them got real drunk, and they looked at me and were like, "Fuck you and your liberal beliefs," and they started saying this to me, and it was just really weird. They started doing the Pledge of Allegiance, and just whenever you're ready.
"I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States."
And then they started shooting illegal fireworks in my direction. I was like, "Peace, I'm out of here."
Machine guns in the
air. I said, "Why don't we play a game of fuck off? You go first. I don't like fireworks being shot at me." Here's, we have two more clips.
They need
that
to require kids to read the Pledge of Allegiance that way.
That way.
Really
there's two more sound clips I want to get to because we only have a couple minutes left. And sorry that we didn't get to do chat. We just got carried away with sound clips.
Yeah.
Was there anything, Zach, that we should have addressed in the chat room? I'll take that as a no. Perfect. So, knife to the brain. There's this sound clip that's so great where Gerard Butler does the typical 80s thing where he looks in, he gets on the monitor and he looks directly into Yang's face.
Right down the lens.
And is like, "This is what I'm going to fucking do to you." And gives him that, like, fuck you speech. Can we play knife to the brain?
"My advice, save the last bullet for yourself. Because if you don't, I'm going to stick my knife through your brain."
Greatest part, he sticks his knife.
He does.
Through Yang's brain.
Via the ear canal.
And I didn't even realize that till when I recorded the sound clip. And I was like, oh, he does exactly what he says he was going to do.
That's the thing about Mike Banning. He keeps his promises.
Hey, his word means everything.
That is everything.
And then I do want to end on this sound clip because it has the greatest... cheesy 90s haha joke ending after all these innocent people were brutally murdered, and so many people were brutally murdered in front of the president and in front of Mike Banning. They have this buddy cop moment as they're stumbling out. President Asher's been shot, and this is what they say.
Sorry about the house, sir.
It's okay. I believe it's insured.
There's literally bodies everywhere when they're doing
walking
this.
Over like three dozen dead bodies.
I think he tripped over somebody's head when he said that.
It's okay.
Don't worry.
I think it's insured. Insured. I believe it's insured.
God.
It's okay. I believe it's insured.
I do have, real quick before we go, one factoid I need to read to you.
Oh, please do.
A trailer they did for the movie used in TV ads included the emergency alert tone.
Ooh.
You know, like the So what happened is they were fined by the FCC because you can't you can't put that in anything. They were fined $1.93 million.
Whoa!
$1.93 million fucking airing one like 30-second ad.
Who got fired for that? Who was the one that was like, what edit? There's some editor that's now blacklisted for that. That's like, oh fuck, I used the emergency broadcast.
Oh damn.
I just needed to tweak it off the tone a little bit. Oh, that sucks.
Not good.
It's a $1.93 million. You know what? But I just hope that he was insured, right?
Yes.
Huh? Huh? I hope that editor...
I believe it's insured.
See, you know, they have insurance for that kind of thing. You know, anyways. Yeah. Well, this has been Olympus Has Fallen this week we've been talking about. Next week, we haven't decided just yet, but we will tweet it out from @GuiltyMovieGuys as soon as we decide what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Until next week, where can they find you, Cameron?
At The Only Cam Chef, Twitter and Instagram, Ben Begley.
All right, you can find me at @TheBenBegley. And also, Scream Factory just announced that the movie that my wife, Renee Dorian, and I wrote, The Funhouse Massacre, and we play two of the lead characters in, it's coming out on DVD and Video On Demand June 7th.
Yes.
So June 7th, you can go, and you can actually pre-order it now on Amazon.com or on ScreamFactory.com. I'll tweet it out from the Guilty Movie Guys, and it's also on my Twitter. I'm whoring it out all over the place. So go pre-order it now. It's definitely a guilty movie pleasure. We're going to do it on the show when it comes out on DVD. And until next week, what is your guilty movie pleasure?
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Christian Harloff, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of its owners or principals.